Hey y'all, what's up? Movie retrospective time. Going back to 2007 for this one. One of Tom's favorite movies.
One of my favorite movies.
I was sure you'd be really excited when this one won the poll.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies. This movie here is it's Hannibal Rising. It's about Hannibal Lecter, but it's a European flick and it's a period piece. And it's a classy horror movie. It has many elements of almost like a superhero movie. It's a lot, in some ways, it's a lot like Batman Begins.
Yeah, I was reminded of that. Because I've seen this a couple times, but when we were watching it again for this review, I was like, yeah, that's what I was most reminded of.
And Lecter is young in this one, and he's shown very much like a vampire. Kind of very vampiric. European aristocracy, grew up in a damn castle, ended up in a dungeon. One thing leads to another. He slowly transforms into a cross between Batman and fucking Dracula. and a samurai.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty crazy.
Real cool flick. Real good filmography. Good fucking score. Good acting. Good story. They got a lot of the little details right, even down to the period fashion and the military equipment and the tanks. Because it starts off in World War II when Hannibal was a little boy. Just a good movie. I like everything about it.
You know what's interesting, though? And so what happened with this one? The screenplay was written by Thomas Harris, who obviously wrote all the original novels, Silence of the Lambs, Red Dragon, Hannibal, all of those. But the thing about it, so the novel came out in 2006. He did not actually want to write a prequel because he thought that, I guess he thought that Hannibal Lecter was more interesting if you didn't know his backstory. I think so. I had read some of the books. I don't think I read the book of this. But what ended up happening was that he was like, yeah, I don't really want to do a prequel. But the production company that owned the rights to the Hannibal Lecter character, which was Dino De Laurentiis at the time, he was basically like, well, we're going to make a movie, like a prequel, with you or without you. So if you, because we have the rights to the character. So if you want to get in on this, then you better write the screenplay.
You better save this shit before we fuck it up.
So he basically said, okay, fine. And he really quickly like rushed out a novel and then quickly rushed out a screenplay that they based the movie on. So it's weird because I kind of feel like this movie, it didn't get great reviews. The acting got good reviews, like the cinematography got really good accolades and stuff. But a lot of people thought it was maybe too, one, it's like, you know, you didn't really want to know all that stuff about Hannibal Lecter. It was scarier if you didn't. And also that it kind of seemed like a little, in the same way that Batman Begins was, where it's just kind of a little greatest hits type of thing, where it's just kind of like, this is how he turned, became a cannibal or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, but don't listen to any of that shit. No, just watch the movie. It's a good movie. They touch on a lot of motifs, and they touch on a lot of bases that kind of explain what could happen to a person who is trying to do the right thing, but they've been through a lot of stuff. It's kind of like the creation of an anti-hero.
That's exactly what this is, yeah.
Because Lecter starts off on a mission to avenge his little sister's murder and trying to avenge what happened to his family. But over time, the inner conflicts and everything, because certain aspects, I can't spoil all the the plot elements of the movie, because there's a lot of people that haven't seen this, and certain things kind of happen in certain orders that end up forcing Hannibal to kind of become what he hates most. He becomes kind of self-loathing in the very end, and it drives him over the edge, and that's when he becomes the Hannibal Lecter that you know. It was a process. He became the Hannibal Lecter you know through basically humiliation and abuse and deprivation and suffering. And his reaction was to slowly turn into something kind of like cross between, kind of like Batman and the Punisher. And then at the end of this story, something happens to him that ends up culminating in kind of like him realizing that he is his own enemy and that he is what he hates. And it drives him over the edge and he becomes just a full-fledged fucking cannibal. Just out of this damn frustration and self-hatred. And they kind of lay the groundwork for that anyway. Because he was a little kid during World War II. Between right there on the eastern border, you know, on the eastern front.
So I think it was Lithuania, wasn't it?
Right. And his homeland's being fought over between a bunch of different factions, one being the Soviet Union, the other ones being Nazis, and then local forces that were kind of like paramilitary militia who were trying to join up with the Nazis. But then they were also going rogue and do whatever the hell they wanted to do. They were more like criminals than anything else. They were mercenaries. And his family gets in the crossfires of all these big forces that are, you know, far beyond what a little kid could handle, you know, and he loses everything. And he ends up being forced later on through relatives, forced to kind of gravitate towards becoming not a warrior for a nation state, but a tribal warrior for himself. And it kind of used samurai imagery for that. Because the samurai were kind of like that. They were ronin until they got... They were like mercenaries. They were ronin until they became a part of some kind of feudal lord's army or support network. But other than that, they had their own authority. A samurai could basically walk around and just kill peasants at will. They had the power of life and death over people. And they cut people's heads off and showed them and to get paid for the kills that they scored in combat. So all this stuff kind of culminates into him becoming kind of like a tribal warrior for himself and his own family. And things happen that show him how corrupt human justice systems are and how the police couldn't save the children during the damn Nazi occupation, and that the Vichy were fucking following Nazi commands, so were the police. But then after the whole war, they're executing people for going along with the Nazis, even though the police were went along with the Nazis. So they were executing innocent people, basically.
Well, people that had done the same horrible, reprehensible shit that they had done.
Right, so he's seeing all... Well, the guy that they cut his head off, he didn't give up the children. He gave up a dude who gave up the children. And they still killed him for fucking giving up the children when he didn't give up the children. He just gave up another... What was it? He gave up another French resistance guy. Wasn't he part of the French resistance?
I think he was,
yeah. And they put it on a guy who was fighting the Nazis instead of the dudes that went along with it. He goes, where were the police? And he goes, yeah. And, you know, Hannibal was like, yeah, you never did ask, you know, yes, Inspector, you never answered his questions. Where were the police when the Nazis took the children? Well, then the police were sitting there watching it. So, they, you know, so Hannibal didn't believe in systematic justice, you know. Not anything from a civilization. He believed in his own personal sense of justice.
Well, it's kind of,
if you were rude, you were an enemy, and he would deal with you.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be fair. Like, everybody that Hannibal kills in this movie pretty much had it coming, to be honest with you. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, he's a serial killer, and, like, obviously we know how the character goes later on, like in Silence of the Lambs.
That's not how it started, though.
Nobody's saying, like, he's a good dude or anything, but it's like... Most of, like, everybody he kills in this one pretty much is like...
They're pretty bad. They're gangsters,
are terrible
basically.
People.
They were mercenaries in the war, and then after the war was over, they kind of had embedded themselves into organized crime. So he goes after a bunch of organized criminals for vengeance. It doesn't have anything to do with... it's justice and vengeance at the same time. It gets very confusing. It's supposed to be morally confusing.
Yeah,
drives him crazy in the end. Because he loses everything... And loses the woman he loves behind all this. Which, that was weird, too, because it was his aunt. Even though they weren't related by blood. They were
related
by marriage.
Yeah, because she was a widow.
She was a widow. She was from Japan.
Yeah.
So she was the one that gave him this kind of, like, samurai influence. He liked that. He liked tribal warriors more than, say, you know, law enforcement and fucking institutionalized soldiers. And so he wasn't into that. He's into self-development and totally independent. That's because he didn't trust authority. Because he... When you see his upbringing, you'd know why.
I mean, that's the thing. He seemed to have, like, it was a nice family. They had their own castle or a manor house or whatever.
Yeah, he was an aristocrat.
Yeah.
His dad was a lord, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
He had a castle. That's what I've seen. Kind of like Dracula.
Yeah.
There is Lecter Castle, which was kind of like Castle Dracula, when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can totally see, like, why Thomas Harris wanted to give him that kind of, like, origin story.
Yeah, and the guy that's playing him is a young guy, and he does have a very vampiric look. Even though physically he's kind of ungainly, looks a little bit like Frankenstein, the way he stands. But his face is kind of vampiric.
It's that's a French actor.
Yeah, he was good in it, I think.
Yeah, I liked him in it a lot, actually. He doesn't really, I mean, he's not anything like, Anthony Hopkins.
No.
And the weird thing about it is that, even though, I guess, I don't know, because I feel like other people have played, Hannibal Lecter, obviously, other than Anthony Hopkins, even though he's, you know, the main one that everybody knows. But it seems like most of the actors they get to play him are British, but the guy that plays him in this is French.
He doesn't say much. The character doesn't have a whole lot of dialogue. He has dialogue, but it's not as verbose as Anthony Hopkins, okay?
Well, he's kind of mute for a while because of the trauma, like when he's a teenager and stuff.
He grew up in captivity, basically.
Because after his family gets killed, and you know, I don't know how much of this you want to spoil because I feel like it came out in 2007. Yeah. Like at the very beginning when he's a kid, like he's what, maybe 10, 11, something like that.
Yeah.
And his whole entire family gets killed in this, you know, in the crossfire in this battle or whatever that takes place like by their cottage.
Yeah.
And then him and his little sister Misha, who was like a toddler, four.
They had to run from the castle and they were hiding in the cottage.
Yeah.
And the castle got taken over.
By a bunch of...
First the Nazis took it over, and then later the Soviets took it over and turned it into an orphanage. And later on, Hannibal Lecter was imprisoned in his own castle because he turned it into an orphanage. And, you know, and they were beating him up and humiliating him in his own damn castle. You know, and...
Which that's got to hurt a guy.
Yeah.
You know?
And what happened to his sister was pretty hardcore, too, before all that, when he was still a little kid. Some mercenaries bust in there and use them for cover because two armies were after them. The Nazis were after them and the Russians were after them. And they couldn't go anywhere, so they had to hide in the cottage. Well, they started to starve to death, so they ate Misha.
Yeah.
And so that's what all the vengeance is about.
And the cannibalism.
Yeah. Yeah. They ate his sister, so he was going to eat them.
Which I can totally see that.
Yeah.
So basically, this is basically straight up like almost like a samurai revenge flick. Because, you know, he has his little sister is eaten. And then he gets taken in by, I guess he gets saved. He wanders out in the snow and like the Russian soldiers save him. And then his cottage, like you said, gets turned into an orphanage. And he gets stuck in there because his entire family is dead.
Well, it wasn't the cottage, though. It was the castle.
It was the castle, yeah.
The cottage got abandoned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he goes back to it later.
He goes back to it later, yeah, that's right. So he's in this orphanage. And like I said, it's not a great situation. He won't talk because of the trauma. Even though he's still, they say he still like yells his sister's name in the night. And he still like dreams about it and everything.
Yeah, they thought he was mute.
Yeah, because he wouldn't talk.
He wouldn't talk at all.
Yeah, but then some of the other people say, yeah, we heard him screaming at night, so he's not really mute. So at some point, he says, like, fuck this orphanage thing, because like I said, they're really horrible to him in there. So he escapes, and then I think in the book, his uncle comes to pick him up from the orphanage. But in the movie, his uncle's already dead.
Yeah.
So he actually travels to France. Yeah.
He has to fight his way across the Berlin Wall to get to France, too. Remember that? He crossed the Berlin Wall from the backside. They were shooting at him, but they didn't hit him. And then he gets to France and finds out that his uncle's dead. And it's a big-ass French manor. And he's another European aristocrat. And his widow is still alive. Her name was Lady Murasaki.
Murasaki was her name.
And she was a Japanese woman whose family got killed in the damn Hiroshima bombing.
Yeah.
She takes care of him and... A little romance kind of bursts, you know, kind of happens between them. She was more like his girlfriend than any kind of mom.
Yeah, because she didn't look that much older.
She wasn't that much older than him,
it wasn't. It's a little weird, but they're not like blood related.
No.
And her husband's dead.
Right.
So yeah, it's a little strange, but it's
yeah, not. And he was like one of the only survivors of her ex-husband's family.
Yeah.
So he deserved to be in there. He was family. It was part of his family estates. You know, just. She took care of him and sent him to university.
Yeah, he goes to medical school.
Yeah. But he also, she also showed him all this samurai armor that she had from her ancestral, because she was also like an aristocrat, Japanese aristocrat. She had all kinds of samurai swords and old samurai armor and samurai puppets, it looks like, and up in the attic. And he became, and scrolls and stuff showing beheadings and attacks on damn certain castles that her family was involved in. So he got way into that, and he wanted to be a samurai. He liked that. And that was part of his. And they do some foreshadowing. He's taking the samurai masks and putting them on. It looks just like the damn mask from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. It's got that, the muzzle type mask.
And he was big into these bladed weapons. And she trained him in kendo. So yeah. He had some of these martial arts skills when it came to blades. And then later on, guns got involved. It's pretty neat. It's very much kind of like Batman Begins in certain ways.
It really does remind me of that.
It has a lot of that in it. And a lot of kind of vampiric type overtones or undertones to certain things. Because he is kind of like a vampire. He's an aristocrat that kills people and eats them or drinks blood. It's about like that.
Yeah, and he's also like scary intelligent and he can, you know, work around.
But real high class. He's real educated. Real intelligent. He can pass a damn lie detector's test because he has no emotional reactions to anything. He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
He can just, you know, no emotions.
Because the first murder that he does, which is kind of like, because like I said, he does one murder, but then he kind of gets a taste for it. And then he's like, well, I got to find out, you know, who the dudes were that ate my sister. And so the rest of the movie is him just basically tracking them down because he didn't know their names. He could only remember, he remembered their faces because he saw them in his dreams. So he like drew these really elaborate pictures of them.
He could remember what they look like. Yeah. He couldn't remember what they called each other though.
Yeah, so he was trying to remember, but remember he stole the truth serum stuff, the sodium pentothal.
He started hitting himself up with sodium pentothal
to make him remember better.
Trying to have visions and stuff, you know, and he did remember. He remembered. Well, no, he remembered their faces. He didn't remember their names until he found the dog tags.
Yeah, because it happened that like during the early attack, like after his sister got eaten and everything like that, there was something that came. It's like it knocked the house over. And they dropped the bag that had, like, all their dog tags in it, so it was still there.
Yeah. They had all their jewels and ID and
everything they were stealing from the house, too.
And he found he remembered their names by the dog tags, and he remembered what they called each other by the dog tags.
And then he started, like, tracking them down one by one.
Yeah.
And doing all these kind of, like, elaborate sort of traps, you know, like, for them to fall into. And they do kind of get the better of him in the end, but it's like, so the first dude that he kills was actually not a revenge thing, really. Like, it wasn't with the first dude, because the first dude he kills is that butcher.
It was kind of like revenge, but not originally. He insulted Lady Murasaki.
Yeah, while they were out shopping. He was, making some racist slurs about
her pussy.
Yeah.
He didn't like that, so he tracked him down fishing and killed him. And
he brought his
head to Lady Murasaki.
Yeah, left it in there
Left it in front of the samurai armor like she had shown him in the pictures that the samurai's been doing. She goes, oh, they will say that this is murder. You know, but she helped cover it up.
Even though that dude did kind of deserve it. I mean,
he was
an asshole.
He was also ex-Vichy that had a whole bunch of enemies because he had been giving up Jews to the Nazis.
Yeah.
Remember? So
everybody he kills in this is a piece of shit.
They're all bad guys.
Yeah.
And the French justice system was not bringing these guys, the right people, to justice. They showed that. They were killing fucking French resistance people.
You know, one aspect of this movie I liked, though, is that the one cop who's played, I can't remember the character's name.
Popiel. Popiel.
Played by Dominic West.
Yeah, good
He character. Was a good character because he was a cop, and he suspected that Hannibal had killed a couple of the dudes. Because, like I said, they're finding, like, severed heads and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he suspected it, but he couldn't prove it. But then, basically, he's like, look, I kind of imply that I knew that you did that.
Yeah.
Just don't kill anybody in France, or you're going to get arrested. He's like, but if you do find them, bring them to me, and I'll take care of them.
Yeah.
Well, because he's like, I want to get them, too.
Well, he was trying to... He knew. He's like, you know, basically he's like, I know that you did this to fucking avenge, you know, what they did, what he said to Lady Murasaki.
Yeah.
And I know that these other guys, that they're all bad. And he's like, but what's going to happen if they kill you? They'll go free.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to go after him? Because I'm the only one that can go after him. Just tell me what you know, and I'll go after him, you know, and then you can go along your way. So he wasn't going to press charges on him. He couldn't really prove it anyway.
Yeah.
But he knew what
it was. I mean, he pretty much knew that he did it, though.
And he also was, like, telling his friends, he's like, I don't know what you call that, but he needs help, basically. You know, the medical science doesn't have an explanation for that dude.
Yeah, you know, there's basically, like, he's kind of like a monster.
Yeah,
now.
He says he's some kind of a monster now. He says what that boy out. He says that boy out in Lithuania died as he, out in World War II. What this is? This isn't quite it. This is something else. Because you know, this was happening. I think in the very early 50s is when that part supposedly happened. Maybe mid 50s, and they had not identified what a serial killer was, but Popiel knew it was something odd.
I mean, they did have shit like that happen, but they didn't really have a concept.
It wasn't codified yet. Of it. Not everywhere.
Right.
You'd have to read the right book, and it would have been some experimental shit at that time. But he knew that was some kind of a monster. And he did that because he didn't have any reactions to anything. You could put him on a damn lie detector and ask him all kinds of fucking fucked up questions.
And he
wouldn't be stressed. He wouldn't
cool
be stressed out at all.
Cucumber the whole time.
Because he had been through all that shit. And he didn't really have kind of a self-preservation instinct. He wasn't afraid of anything. You know, because he had emotionally been maxed out a long time ago. So, you know, being questioned by the police was nothing to him. Lying was nothing to him. Or just evading. He just thought it was funny to evade questioning and flip it back around on somebody. Because, you know, he had a fucking, I guess you could say, a very expanded fucking Overton window. Nothing upset him. And he just said that it was monstrous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he'd play with other people's lives and deaths and it would be like nothing. Yeah.
Although, as I said, he in this movie in particular, he doesn't really kill anybody that doesn't have it coming.
Well, he feels it's justified.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't think the criminal justice system can handle it because it was demonstrated in the story that the criminal justice system went after the wrong people.
Yeah.
So he, because he was already an aristocrat and he was intelligent, he figured he was the ultimate authority. That
yeah,
he
had,
be doing it.
So that's interesting that you bring that up because it is kind of like that's maybe why they made him like an aristocrat
of
like
course.
That. Just because he would have that inbuilt like sense of entitlement.
Exactly, an inbuilt sense of superiority.
Right.
He's like, these are just peasants with their fucking thing. I'm fucking Dracula.
You know,
that's what Dracula was.
Well, yeah.
Dracula had his own castle, was an old war hero from hundreds of years ago.
Yes.
He had a whole tribe of damn gypsies that would fight to the death for him and everything. He was an authority figure. He was the authority.
Yeah.
And he was the undead. Who's going to tell him what to do? He's a fucking vampire.
No one could tell the undead what to do.
You going to listen to your food? You know what I'm talking about? Little chicken's going to tell you. You're a chicken, you know? Chicken and fish and little cows are going to tell you what to do. No, you're fucking food. And that's why a lot of people don't look at it that way. But that's what Dracula was. He was the authority.
Yeah.
Okay? He wasn't a criminal. He was the fucking lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you definitely, I mean, there are really a lot of parallels in this story with kind of a Dracula origin story.
Yeah.
So I can see, even though, you know, like I said, Thomas Harris kind of like wrote this really quickly because he hadn't actually planned on writing another novel about Hannibal Lecter, and he especially didn't want to do a prequel. So he did actually write this one really quick. But now that you mention it, you know, maybe he just was bouncing it off the wall of Dracula, and he's like, well, I'm just going to give him like a Dracula-esque backstory.
Well, that's what that character would need, as gravitas and moral self-justification. Of course I have the power of life and death over everybody. I'm a fucking elector.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My family existed before the Republic. It's that kind of shit. It's that kind of thinking. That, you know, it's old school authority.
Like I would be
back
in...
from the fucking back from monarchy.
Yeah,
you know that's what they're talking about.
I would be interested to see because I think when I first heard that they were going to do a prequel, I thought that they were going to do something about Dr. Lecter's like early like psychiatric practice, which I think that would be interesting too. Like just that aspect because this story is basically like him as a little kid and then him as like a late teenager. He's probably like 18 or 19 he's supposed to be, right? Because they show him as a little kid, and then it's 8 years later when he's in medical school.
But the story ends with him in Canada, so that's when he got to the United States, and that's when the practice, his practice would have happened after he got into the new world.
Yeah.
And I guess he started, when he wasn't, I guess I don't think he was wanted, was he? He wasn't wanted. Popeil didn't put any charges on him.
Nope.
So he could just go to the United States under his own name.
He was free as air. He could just go wherever he wanted.
And he already had his education, so he didn't need to go to school or anything.
Yeah, because he already had medical. He did his medical.
Maybe he did
in
some
France.
Extra shit for psychology, but that's, you know.
And I mean, like I said, when the movie ends, he's still pretty young.
Yeah, still young.
I mean,
he's in
like,
his 20s.
Yeah, he's like in his early 20s, he's supposed to be. So, yeah, he could totally just be like, yeah, I went to all these like fancy medical schools in France, and it's like you could just kind of parlay it from there, and then he could just start killing people for as long as he wanted to.
Well, even in the movies, the people he killed were the ones that he thought needed to die because they were rude.
They were rude, yeah.
Either to him or to somebody else.
Yeah. And that's why
even Starling's boss. He killed Starling's boss because she was a shit to Starling.
Yeah, because he was an asshole.
Yeah. Fucking, he ate his brain.
Yeah.
And then he made that dude eat his own brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a pretty hardcore shit. Well, like I said, I think that maybe that's why a lot of people like resonated with Hannibal Lecter because, he's a serial killer, but he's kind of killing some assholes. It's the same kind of thing as Dexter. It's like you're killing like shitty people. Yeah. No one's going to feel all that bad, you know, like him killing these fucking people.
Well, remember the guy that watched him was also a medical student at the sanitarium. What was his name? Not Harvey. The black dude.
Yeah. I know you're talking about Barney.
Barney. Barney was in several of the movies, and Barney said he liked Hannibal. He liked Dr. Lecter, and they talked to Dr. Lecter all the time, and that, you know, once you got to know him, and you kind of understand, remember that? And he said you kind of have to understand that there's a certain way you have to talk to him, you know, and that you'd be okay. You know, Barney said that Lecter wouldn't come after him.
Well, even, you know...
So it would be rude.
No, Silence of the Lambs, Clarice says that. Like, after Dr. Lecter escapes, and her friend is all freaking out, like, you know, and she said, he won't come after me. Yeah. And then she said, it's hard to explain, but he would consider that rude.
Yeah.
Because he liked her, so he wasn't going to kill her. Yeah. You know what I mean? He only killed people that he thought had it coming.
Yeah. He called them, the free-range rude.
Yeah. That's right.
Rude people just running around. They're eating their food. Their food like a free-range chicken.
Which, like I said, it's in some cases, I can kind of endorse that, I gotta say. So I don't feel all that bad about him killing some of those
people.
It's
been going on since the dawn of fucking man, anyway. Our pre-human ancestors, the tribal warfare, they were eating each other.
Yeah.
You didn't let meat go to waste. And plus, you know, even in Native Americans and a lot of tribal, even down the Mexicans and the Mesoamericans down in Teotihuacan and shit like that, you know, they ate those sacrifices. And, you know, it makes sense. You're trying to gain their strength and you're gaining sustenance from somebody who's kind of semi-willingly given their lives through ritual acts, or it's a gift from a relative who's died because, you know, bushmeat, you know.
Yeah, it's not all that weird when you look at it from that aspect.
Vikings did it. You know, they were calling it long pig.
Yeah.
You just didn't... It's protein, and you just didn't let that shit go to waste. Now, in certain cultures, it was also kind of a way of absorbing an enemy's strength, but also kind of desecrating him, because, of course, you ate him, and then you shit him out.
Yeah.
You know? That you just kind of reduced the person's
food.
Which is
like the ultimate fuck you.
Yeah, it depends on how you... Depends on how you interpret this stuff. Is it civilized? No, not really by today's standards, but there were civilizations that did it. You know, Mexico was big into it. You know, the conquistadors and shit said, no, they openly sold human meat.
I liked in this one that basically he didn't, he just ate the cheeks.
Yeah, he was building up to it, though.
Yeah.
Towards the end, he was eating them raw.
Yeah. Well, especially that last guy, because that dude was just, like, the worst.
Yeah.
So he saved him for last.
And also, he realized that he knew aspects of what had actually happened out there in the fucking, out there in the snow with
and
Misha and everything.
Yeah, it made him, like, super mad and calmed down.
Yeah.
So, it's like, I'm not even gonna cook your face. Yeah. I'm just gonna eat it.
Yeah.
Well, after he carved like some shit in his chest and everything.
Yeah.
It's kind of a gory movie. We should probably watch the series Hannibal.
I've only seen a couple of the episodes. It seemed to be okay.
Yeah. I wonder, because I know a lot of people, like, really, really dug it. And I was like, I keep meaning to watch it, and I just haven't got around to it. I wonder how it kind of, like, dovetails in with this. Because I heard there was some inconsistencies between the... just the backstory, I guess. But like I said,
I'm not one of these people that, you know, in a story like this, that you have to have 100% consistency. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's close.
I didn't like it when they varied, when they fucked up Star Wars lore. You know what I mean? Because they already had all these books and all this other shit. But something kind of like Lecter's story, I think it's okay to take a little bit of license with it. It doesn't have a huge fucking fandom of rabid fans collecting all kinds of crazy shit. It's just a pretty cool story, and you could retell it a little bit, long as it was within certain
and
parameters.
If somebody complained, you could just make the argument too. It's like, oh, we're just hearing things from Lecter's point of view, and maybe he's lying, or maybe he's like exaggerating, or maybe someone else is telling the story and they're lying, exaggerating, you know what I mean? So something like that. But yeah, so I think this is on Hulu at the moment. I think it's on Hulu or Amazon Prime. I can't remember. So if you have Hulu, you can watch it. We actually have the Blu-ray, so we watched it.
It's great on Blu-ray. Got a lot of extras.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, obviously not my favorite of the Hannibal movies. That would be Silence of the Lambs. But, you know, it's... I feel like it got kind of bad reviews. It didn't make a huge amount of money. It made more than its budget, but it didn't make twice. So I guess it was a little bit of a financial disappointment. But... that said, I think it's actually like a better movie than it's given credit for.
I think technically, and just because of the sets and the clothes, the costumes, even like the T-34 tank that they showed and the little details about the tank, it had a lot of accuracy with it and the tone. I almost say I think I like it better than Silence of the Lambs, even though Silence of the Lambs is also a masterpiece. Visually, I like this one better.
Well, the cinematography on this one's really, really nice. I mean, they really did kind of go. I mean, just visually, this is like a beautiful, beautiful looking movie.
Yeah, it's just a good looking movie. If you like Hannibal Lecter, or you like Silence of the Lambs, and you liked Batman Begins, and you like vampire movies like Dracula, you'd love this. Because it's kind of combining all that.
Yeah, it is kind of like throwing it all in there together. Yeah. And samurai shit, too.
And samurai stuff, yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, it's over on Hulu right now. So go check it out. If you haven't seen it, let us know what you think about it in the comments. And we will see you guys on the next one. Bye.